Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. So if you're wondering what in the heck is going on out there in the world of real estate, we have brought the master to the table. The man that you hear every week on WRHI with his series of We're Bigger Than You Think, a fellow by the name of Jay Reinhart. And we stumble onto these topics from time to time, and I say, look, we got to get you to the table because I can't get this all in less than 2 minutes. So how are you, Jay?
How you doing, Manning? It's good to be on, and thank you for the invitation.
So you need to reintroduce yourself to this growing population out there and tell them a little bit about you if they haven't met you.
Sure. Well, I'm born and raised in York County. I mean, I am there are only a couple of us left, but just kidding. But this is where I grew up. Mom and Dad started the company 50 years ago. We're starting our 50th year in about a month.
Whoa.
And we're excited to have been part of the community and grown here. We're Reinhart Realty, and we also have Reinhart Property Management. As you so aptly point out, a lot of times I'm a practicing attorney also, so we bring a lot of things to the table when we're representing clients.
And you've been president of this company for how long now?
I've been president of the company now 21 years.
Golly, day, 21 years. Woo! My, how time flies. It seems like I just heard that announcement yesterday. So I guess that's why your hair is turning more white like
mine.
Oh,
yes. It's more white, and I can say I have grandchildren now, too, which is very cool.
There you go. Good for you. So this market, it's very interesting. When we were coming out of COVID, and of course, everybody stopped building houses during COVID. Everybody fled to their homes, get away from other people and what have you. So they created a tremendous shortage of housing inventory, correct?
So actually, we were already at a shortage before COVID. Okay, but what ended up happening with COVID, because building still occurred during COVID, it's just the planning process and getting through planning and development came to a screeching halt. Okay, So then what has occurred is it exacerbated, and you know, you had this whole situation of people now could work from home. And so a lot of people chose, well, I don't like where I live, so I don't want to work from my current home. I want to work from a different home. And that really caused an interesting, once-in-a-generation thing to occur.
Phenomenal.
Which was the inflation, the move. I mean, think about how fast our area grew, even how fast South Carolina grew during the years, couple years right there around COVID.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening is our prices also took a hit. I mean, I remember sitting, talking to our agents and talking about back-to-back 14% increases in prices in Fort Mill. Year over year. So in a 24-month period, we had back-to-back 14% increases. And, I mean, that's just a unbelievable and unsustainable increase in pricing.
Well, you add to that little formula, we had a lot of people moving down here from the north who were used to big prices on houses.
Yeah, they sold their house for $1 million in the northeast and come down here and can buy twice the house for $450,000.
But for somebody who was local trying to buy that, they were saying, I can't afford this.
Well, and they were paying cash.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of cash flooded into our area, Manning. And it wasn't always just the buyer. So, I mean, take somebody like Manning Kimmel, that has all this cash. And, and the child has been beat out. Their child's wanting to go buy a house and has been beat out on three or four deals because they were contingent on a mortgage.
Right.
Manny goes, well, shoot. I'll give you the cash. Go make it a cash offer and make it, $10,000 over asking price. And all of a sudden that occurred.
Well, boy, that was really something. I mean, people were paying incredible, I don't want to say multiples, but
premiums.
A lot. Premiums. Yeah. And what were the banks doing there? Were the banks
The banks were still lending. But a lot of times, remember, we had appraisal waivers. We had what were called gap addendums. So in other words, if the appraisal comes in at $490, I've offered to pay $525. I agreed to cover the difference. Yeah. So people were still buying. They were just putting more cash in to make sure that they got the house. And they were banking on the increase in prices. Now, let's go ahead and talk about today.
I was going to say, that bubble didn't last forever.
No, and it didn't pop. I mean, we haven't popped this bubble. Yeah. We've just let some of the air out of it.
Yeah, that's it. That's a good way of putting it. We've let a little bit of the air out. But what's happened is we are left with a housing market that is a lot more expensive than it was 5 years ago.
Right. And when you and I have talked, it's more of what I would consider to be a normal market. And people go, normal? None of this is normal. Like, yeah, but the way the market is operating is more normal.
Meaning?
So in other words, let's take a situation where I have a house that maybe is $350,000, which you and I both know now is considered potentially a starter home.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
So $350,000, and instead of me going, well, I really want $375,000. And so we put it on $375,000. The market knows we're overpriced. People in the market looking, because the consumer has access to a lot of data, just not the experience, but the data, and they don't know how to read the data. And they look at it and they go, well, every other house in the neighborhood is $350,000. You want $375,000. I'm not buying it. But let's say we go in and we have $350,000, but maybe, Manning, we need a little work in the kitchen, or maybe the bathroom's a little dated. And so we talk and you go, okay, well, let's put it on it. Let's do $342,500. Well, now the market goes, oh my goodness, that's a good price on that house. So where market may be $350,000, I price under market, I may be able to get up a little bit higher than my asking price, or at least sell fairly quickly. So that's why you still see houses on the market, and they're on the market for, you know, sold my house in 2 days. Well, that's because it was priced appropriately and maybe even a little under market, and you were in a marketplace with a lot of buyers. Now, take that into the $1 million market, which I remember when you and I were talking, where we would go, there's not a $1 million market. We just don't have one in York County.
Wrong.
You know, maybe some things on the lake, you know?
Yeah.
But now we have a $1 million market.
Oh, yeah.
Now it gets really, really tight in the $1 million market, where somebody may still look at that $375,000 house, even though it's overpriced. If I overprice at $1 million, it's crickets. There are no showings.
Yeah.
Because that buyer now is very, very proud of their money, too. Where my first-time home buyer, I got to get into a house, I got to get in this game, start building my wealth. Somebody in that $1 million price range is looking and going, wait a minute, I've got money to put down. I'm a good buyer. I may be putting $250,000, $300,000 into this house. I've got cash. And so they're a little more picky, especially on pricing. So my $1 million houses have to be really, really aggressively priced to be able to make sure that they stand out in this marketplace and get the attention that is needed. Now, it's not all just about pricing. You also have to have the marketing. And that's where you and I talk all the time. I mean, our agents are really spending the time studying, making sure they understand the marketing, using every single opportunity, which is video and you name it, all those things.
You know what surprises me, though? When you take a look, and we'll just talk about Reinhardt Realtors, because they're the only ones that I know. The time that they spend doing all this, day in and day out. And then when it comes time to talking with the person who's selling their house, and they say, look, my research says that this should be the price of the house. And the seller automatically says, no, it needs to be something else.
Right.
It's higher. I don't understand. I mean, I don't think they understand that the two of them have a symbiotic relationship.
It is symbiotic, right.
I mean it's to the benefit of the Reinhardt Realtor to get that house sold as quickly as we can get it sold.
Well, Manning, I've never met a seller that says, you know, here's what I want to do. I want to put my house on the market, and I want you to take as long as you possibly can to sell it. And you know, just make sure that people are coming through all the time. And you know, if you could have an open house every single Saturday, especially during football season, I would appreciate that. And, you know, I mean, I'm exaggerating it, but I haven't met one. Now, everybody wants to get the best price that they possibly can and sell in the shortest period of time, reasonable. Okay. And right, what is happening in this market right now is, depending on price ranges and location, remember we talk about hyper local marketplace, right. Then the days on the market could be 30, 60, in some areas 90 days on the market. Now, that's compared to where we just came out of, which was 20 days on the market, 14 days on the market. So, yes, when you see statistics and they say, oh, days on the market have doubled. Well, yes, that's because we were in a very, very weird marketplace. Yeah. Okay. You and I, during coming out of the Great Recession, we talked about, oh, wow, we just broke 140 days on the market coming down. And we were so happy we were there. Now it's just a different way of, we got to retool our thinking when we're talking about the market.
Well, and people have not forgotten their buddies who got these phenomenal premiums on their houses. So they think, well, if he got that or she got that, then I should be able to get it.
Correct. And if you haven't been in the marketplace in the last 3 years or 4 years, or that's when you bought your house, we talk with a lot of sellers. Had an agent this week. They went in with the seller and they said, okay, now when we put the house on the market, we're ready to go. What should we expect? 20 or 25 people at the open house this weekend, and how many offers should we expect out of it? And so the agent had to have the conversation of, well, let me tell you about what has occurred with the last 7 houses in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
So not one, the last 7. Here's what has occurred over the last 12 to 18 months. Here's what the market's doing. Here's what interest rates are. Because we haven't even broached that subject
yet.
No,
we're going to get to that.
And here's what's occurring as far as affordability for this buyer. So it is a very different consultation that we have today than when we said, hey, Manning, just if you could just empty the house and just give it to me, I'll have it gone in 20 days. Okay? Just doesn't exist today.
So there's an interesting question. When it comes to selling the house, forget all the pricing and what have you, we've talked about how the house needs to be presented in a way that it's not cluttered,
correct,
that it is staged properly. And in this world that we live in today, it's probably worth the investment to have somebody come in there and do some rearranging or pulling some stuff out so that it looks like there's room for the new people.
Yeah, so a really good real estate advisor will be able to come in and offer you some initial, you know, advice, okay? Manning, you know, I know you love that huge piece of furniture right as you open the front door that you can barely get around, but we need to move that out. Or like, you know, I've been to your house, you've been to my house. I mean, they're decorated by our wives, and guess what they have? They have pictures of my kids and grandkids all over the place.
That's right.
If I go to sell, I'm not selling my kids and grandkids. I'm selling a house which will have a new buyer that needs to be able to see themselves in that house. They need to be able to imagine their kids and grandkids coming, having meals, and being a part of living in that home.
Because many times you only get one shot at this potential buyer.
Well, Manny, first you only get one shot online, so your pictures have to be really good.
Yeah.
Okay, no cell phone pictures. Pictures have to be really good. And if you can have video, then they feel like they've walked through your house already.
Yeah.
And so that video has to be really good, talking about areas and you name it. And then when they walk across that threshold, they'll make a decision within about the first 15 seconds of being in a house.
No kidding. Really?
There's a feel. Have you ever walked into a house and felt and gone, I wouldn't live here?
True. Yes, I have.
Or walked in, like my wife, when she walked into the house that we had under contract, our current home, she literally walked from the front door to the bay window, because we live on the lake, and she said, I don't care what the rest of the house looks like. Because she knew I had enough bedrooms for the kids. I mean, I had a plan. But, I mean, that is what we do with homes. We know it when we walk into our house.
You know, we could do a whole show just on what the Internet has done to your industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has made it, well, actually, I think it's improved it for everybody.
Manny, I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's
so
just
many
great.
People decry and say, oh, the Internet changed this thing forever. I'm like, changed it in a phenomenal way. Because now you don't have to wonder, have I seen all the houses? Or did Jay sit down with me? And I know we're only going to see 3 houses or 5 houses, but I want to see 25 houses.
Yeah.
Well, why? Because we've been able to look at them online. I can show you the pictures. It's very different.
When I came here 41 years ago, my wife was still up in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
I was down here doing some house hunting, and we finally found a house with a Reinhardt realtor. But I didn't have any way to show her, so I took all these pictures. Put them in an envelope.
Polaroids.
Put them in an envelope and sent them to her. And said, what do you think? Golly, Dad.
This is what I just entered into a contract on.
Oh, my gosh. And a funny side story was, the seller thought I was casing the house to steal something.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yes, of course.
But that's how much the technology has changed.
Right.
Because it's instant. I mean, you can go to anybody's house anywhere in the world if it's listed properly and been taken over by a realtor that
and
knows what they're doing.
That's what the consumer expects.
Yeah.
I mean, Manny, think about it. We live on dial for this little box that's in our pocket or in your purse. I mean, it depends on, you know, that's what we can go get anything. And so we want to have the data. The thing that the consumer doesn't have is then the knowledge. They have data. They don't have the knowledge about the market. In other words, is that $500,000 house really a $500,000 house?
Yeah.
And so that's where the advantage of working with a broker.
Well, the other advantage, and we've talked about it, is you may think you've got your deal all put together, it's all signed, sealed, and delivered. I would venture to say that 9 times out of 10 in your industry, there's a hiccup at a closing. And
it's even before the closing, Manny. Okay. So we jokingly say when we're under contract is when we first got hired. Now it's when the work starts. Because, again, you're looking at it. Repairs. And so with this change in the market too, we went from buyers just going, oh, I know they're $20,000 worth of repairs, but I really need the house to live in, so I'll just make the repairs, Mr. and Mrs. Seller. Thank you so much for selling me the house. To now shifting not to a buyer's market. A lot of people have said, oh, it's shifted to a buyer's market. In many locations, it's not, okay? But it's more of an equal market where the seller and buyer are negotiating the price for the house, and then the negotiations start on condition. And so many sellers come in and say, okay, I've agreed to that price, but it's as is. Well, every sale is as is, Manny. That's why we have due diligence periods. And then the buyer comes in and says, as is, I'm willing to take it as is, but not with these repairs. So Mr. and Ms. Seller, please make these repairs. Seller comes back and says, no. Buyer says, okay, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Now the seller's on notice.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay, and if they were things that had to be repaired, they have to be repaired. So, again, that's that negotiation and also the education of both parties in saying what is reasonable. Now, we have buyers that also are asking for everything. You know, Manny, and I know you have, the roof is only 15 years old. It's a 30-year roof, but I need a new roof, okay, which is not practical.
Okay? You need a new life.
Right. Oh, it's the HVAC is 8 years old, so we need a new HVAC. And those are just not practical. And we advise sellers that's just not practical. Now, if the condenser or something's gone in the HVAC, okay. I mean, that's a whole different ball of wax. So, again, the parties, a good buyer's agent is going to the buyer and saying, hey, you're not getting a perfect house because there is not one. They don't exist.
Yeah.
Well, what if I bought new construction? It's not perfect. Trust us.
Right.
That's why we have inspections.
Like a guy by the name of John Reinhardt told me one time, he said, you know, you need to try to pay off your house in 20 years because in 20 years, your house is going to need some repairs.
Yeah, you got to have a new roof, HVAC units. You know, you're going to want to paint after 20 years. I guarantee it. So.
And I swear 6 months after he said that, I had to replace 3 air conditioners within 6 months. All right, we got to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, here at Substation 2, we make fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week. Between, Josh, she knows what we're going to do, between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters. Don't eat that bite of salad yet because I need your voice. At the count of three, how do we do it? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
There we go. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI
and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place, enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Introducing two new high-speed internet options. Comporium has created two new levels of service that give you access to fast, reliable internet for a remarkably low monthly price. Whether you prefer the light or the essential plan, you can do everything you want online without spending too much. Prices start at $29.94 per month for light internet, and essential internet is under $50. Both plans offer fast internet and free virus protection. Call Comporium today to sign up. 833-619-1848.
If your primary care physician has recommended surgery for a medical condition and non-invasive medical treatments are not an option, you may want to talk to your surgeon about new, less invasive surgical techniques. At Piedmont Medical Center, we use Da Vinci Robotic Surgery, a robot-assisted system controlled by a surgeon designed to allow for greater surgical precision during many general GYN and urology procedures that potentially offers you a quicker recovery. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very interesting discussion, whether you're a buyer or a seller. If you've missed the first part of this program, go back online to WRHI.com, or I can assure you, ReinhardtRealty.com, and listen to it, because this is really a very, very interesting program. Here we go. We haven't even gotten into the interest rate situation.
Sure.
Now, interest rates, here's another one of these COVID problems. Down when we had COVID, we were getting interest rates at 2%, 2.5%, 3%.
Well, for the first time in history, Manning, we've always said you marry the house and you date the interest rate. We have people that marry the interest rate. Okay. I mean, it's crazy, because, I mean, we go to sellers right now and we have a lot of people that are in the position in life to where they're going, I don't need my 3,000, 3,500, 4,000 square foot house. Right. The kids are in different parts of the country. We travel to go see them. And we want to downsize, but wow, I've got to pay twice as much for the smaller house that I'm considering. And we want to have that money out of the house, the equity out of the house, so that we can go and travel and do different things. But now I got to take a mortgage out at 6.5%. That's twice what my 2.5-3% rate was on the current house. And they're scratching their head going, I don't know that I can quote unquote afford to sell my big house.
To get, okay, a smaller one.
Yeah. Get a smaller one. And that's an interesting dynamic in this marketplace.
Well, and it's also impacted your inventory, correct?
It has impacted. That is a big impact on inventory that is not talked about enough. It's just that I don't have to sell thought process. Okay? But there are a lot of people in our area, too, because the values have gone up so much, that could not afford the house that they live in right now. So they couldn't afford to buy it. And that's another impact. So I would like to move. But wait a minute, where am I going to move? I got to move outside of Rock Hill. I can no longer live in the area in Rock Hill that I want to. So, I mean, that's an impact that's keeping people in their houses longer.
So what is the magic number on interest rates that would all of a sudden trigger a big flush of activity?
Yeah, so that's a little unknown, but I will tell you, as interest rates were going up, and remember, they don't go up lockstep. Now it's 4.1, 4.2, 4.5. You know, they go up and they come down and they ebb and flow. And what we saw was, when interest rates went over 5%, we had a little bit of a pullback. When they went over 6%, we had a bigger pullback. When they went over 7%, the mortgage lender started going, hey, let me check if my phone's still working, okay? So, I mean, that's kind of where we went. So if rates can get into that five range, the low fives. We believe that that will open up a lot more people, a lot more inventory. It's psychological, Manning, because historically the average interest rates have been in the sevens.
There you go.
They've been in the sevens.
That's the thing that, again, people forgot all of that during this post-COVID period when rates were 2 or 3%.
But remember, it's because of the increase in prices.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that sevens when I have a mortgage of $90,000 is one thing. Okay?
Yeah.
It's very, very different when you start looking at a $450,000 mortgage on a $500,000 house.
Yeah.
So, and that's what's going to end up happening, I believe, in our areas. We're going to have an adjustment to, you know, you and I may be contemporaries, and you live in a $500,000 house. I want to live in a $500,000 house, but my $500 is smaller than your $500.
Mm.
Okay? My mortgage payment is higher than your mortgage payment, where you may be able to go and travel because you're not paying an extra $1,000 a month in interest. So, I mean, it's very different. So we're going to have to readjust our thought process.
But people need to be realistic. We're not going to have a sudden boom, reversal in the prices. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
So if you want to get a roof over your head, you're going to have to sit down and start planning this out.
Right. Well, Manning, let's talk about that just for 1 second. So if you live in a $500,000 house and prices magically adjust, and we say, I come to you and you say, Jay, I want to sell my house. And I say, okay, Manning, your house is worth $430,000. So think about that, $70,000 off $500,000, only about a 12%, 13% difference.
Right.
You're going to look at me and go, I don't have to sell, Jay.
That's exactly right.
I don't have to sell
because
I only paid $300,000 for the house. We got a lot of people. So, I mean, that thought process of, oh, I'm going to wait for prices to come down and then I'm going to make a move, I don't see this huge adjustment.
So I know you don't buy into the fact, as some people would say, that younger people aren't going to own their own homes. I think that's going to happen. They will.
Yes, and the data is showing that.
Yeah. So what do you say to that 25-year-old who just got married and wants to buy a home and listening to all this stuff we're talking about, including this fly that's flying around my head? Well, what do you tell them?
Yeah, what I do is tell them exactly what I'm telling my kids, which are in their mid-20s, is the reality of the real estate market is you don't buy your first house and stay there for 15 years. And I tell them that Mom and I lived in rental properties while we were saving up. We bought our first house, and within 2 years, we sold that first house and moved into our second house, which we stayed at. And we bought more second house than we actually thought we could buy. We bought at our top of our market at that time because we wanted to stay there for 10 years. We ended up staying there 14 years, and then we bought another house. So we've gotten this idea that, okay, at 25 years old, you should buy the house you're going to be in until you're 40. No. You buy your first house. You build equity in that first house and then turn it over. And that's the beauty of starter homes is as they are turned over, guess what? The next generation gets to get into a starter home. So when we're talking through that, I just encourage that.
Well, the other thing that I would encourage people, and I don't want this to sound self-serving, but you need to have somebody by your side that does this day in and day out. This is a very complicated world, and
right.
It's going to be ending up being probably the biggest investment you ever make.
Well, Manning, we've been around for 50 years because our philosophy is we want to be with you through your life cycle of your real estate. So I want you to be able to call me in 5 years. I'm not going anywhere. I want to be able to answer your questions in 5 years and then do it again in 10 years. And I want you when your kids are now 25 years old, to go sit down with Mr. Reinhart and let's go through how did we get you into this marketplace? Because I want you to be a homeowner. I want you to be invested in the community.
Well, Jay Reinhart, thank you for all that you do. Congratulations on 50 years of business almost.
Thank you. Almost.
September.
Yes, sir.
And great program. Great program. I hope everybody goes back and takes a listen to it. Mom and Dad, if you heard this and your kids haven't, tell them to go back and listen. Because you want to get them out of the house. That's the whole idea. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, one more time, ladies and gentlemen. Fresh subs and salads. 6 days a week here at Substation 2. This is your opportunity. Okay, that's a girl. Don't put that in your mouth yet. Here we go. At this count of three, how do we do it? One, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
You got it. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.